D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by the self-proclaimed number one hockey hit on our station, Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet's NHL insider, co-host of the 32 Thoughts podcast, author of the 32 Thoughts column. Elliot, I was watching Saturday headlines on Hockey Night in Canada over the weekend. The Predators that night were losing to the Ottawa Senators. You said that, as we talked about last week, Barry Trotz hoping to take a deep breath, see where everything goes. But you wondered aloud if perhaps he might be backed into a corner with the way that the things have been going with the Predators. Their winless streak as they play tonight against the Dallas Stars has reached 8 games. It's their longest such streak in more than 10 years. Do you think we're getting closer to that point where Barry Trotz might be backed into a corner and therefore does something that he may not want to do?
I know what you're referring to. I don't think it's hard to miss, Adam. I really believe that he is doing everything he can to avoid making Andrew Burnett the scapegoat for all of this. And I actually admire it on a lot of levels. I really admire it because I think I over my career, and I've been around for 30 years now, I've seen a lot of places where the easiest decision was made and the coach is the scapegoat or the coach gets thrown overboard. And I really believe, like I told you guys last week, when he was coming through Toronto, while I didn't speak to him directly, the word definitely was around that he really wanted to make sure that Brunette wasn't seen as the sole person who was responsible for this. And I believe that he has stuck with that. I believe on some level that he's trying to say that in the long term, people are going to grow out of adversity. I think that's something that Trotz believes in. And, you know, we may get to a point. And the other thing, too, that's a real challenge, Adam, is I think there's a real limit to what he can do trade-wise. You know, obviously, a lot of his players have no trade and no move clauses. There's going to be guys he's not going to want to move. He's got some injuries too that affect the roster. And I think the other thing too is, and I think this whole thing with Parsonen is going to get to a head sometime soon, but you've already seen a couple of young guys go elsewhere and do very well. And I think if you're in Nashville, you want to stop that from being a storyline. So I think the long answer is, I think the easy answer is yes. I definitely see him getting back into a corner. But I think the longer answer is, like in life, don't make a bad decision because you feel you have to do something. And I think that's what Trotz is trying to avoid.
Another team that everybody's keeping an eye on, a team that will be in Nashville on Tuesday, a team that kept you very busy last week. The New York Rangers. They did win last night. They defeated the Buffalo Sabres, a team that has its own set of problems. But we saw last week the trading of Jacob Trouba. I thought the conversations you've been having about, you know, the changes perhaps in how teams give out these no trade, no movement clauses to protect situations like we've seen with the Rangers on more than one occasion, not with just Jacob Trouba, but Barclay Goodrow as well. But the Rangers, despite winning last night, I believe have still lost 8 of 11. This is a team that just went to the Eastern Conference Final and won the President's Trophy. So what could be next for the New York Rangers? I know that Chris Kreider was also mentioned in that league-wide memo that included Trouba. But if things if things continue to go south in New York, what's the big move the Rangers can make?
I still think they're looking at their blue line, Adam. Ryan Lindgren is a guy who plays and competes really hard, and I think there's a chance he could be coming to the end of his time in New York. I think everybody kind of sees the writing on the wall there. I think the blue line is going to be a big focus for them. I believe the Rangers, like the Rangers could have had Cam Fowler in that deal with Anaheim and didn't want it. So even though I think he could have helped them, I just think it says to me that they want their financial flexibility. They want their cap room. So either they're going to add something this summer, or try to anyway, among the big free agent class, or, I think JT Miller was a guy who was on their radar. I'm just not convinced he's going anywhere right now. I think that's what they're looking at is, can they add a big scorer? Can they add another defenseman, remake their blue line? And I think that's I think they're just trying to add something, trying to find the best possible players they can find. I think that's the way to put it. But those things are hard to do in midseason.
We're talking with Elliot Friedman, 32 Thought Podcast. Listen to it whenever you get a chance to. Now, Elliot, we have Barry on every week with Jarrett.
Yep.
And it seems like it's must listen radio whenever Barry's on because of his honesty.
Yep.
But he did say something this week. I'm not sure if you heard it or not. But he did say something this week about possibly some things he could have done different through this whole process as far as free agency. And he did mention the center position and him probably approaching it a little bit different, being creative and how to go about that position. Obviously, we know he didn't get anyone at that position, and they've had a lot of turnover at the center position. But what do you make of what he explained about that position?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to notice, to mention, Derek, that while it's always a great hit, it still is the second best hockey hit on the station. Okay.
I agree with you.
Let's not forget, okay? I'll say this. I didn't get a chance to listen to it this week. I will go back and do it. I was down in Florida at the board. I was traveling, and I didn't get a chance to listen. But off the top of my head, the one thing I would think there, and I could see him not naming the name because he's still a current Predator, but they have to be disappointed with what's happened this year with Novak. Mm-hmm. And look, like, when you go back there, you look at the roster, opening night, nobody was hurt. So you've got them putting together a team that you're like, opening night, we're very excited. We just had a great summer. We're really looking forward to our year. This is our lineup. And who was at the 2C spot? It was him. And they were really hopeful. And, like, he's a really talented guy. And, you know, he was being put with, if I remember correctly, opening night was Stamkos. I can't remember if it was Marchessault.
It was Marchessault on the other side.
Okay. So, like, just think about this. Like, so Barry, in his eyes, he's seeing, and Brunette too, they're seeing opening night, Tommy Novak, between Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault. And they're like, what's the last thing you think you're going to have to worry about with that line? Scoring. And it just hasn't worked. And, you know, like, so, like, I loved it when they re-signed Novak. I think he's a really talented guy. It just hasn't worked. And it's been a really hard season for him. So, and the thing is, like, Trotz, like, he wants to be honest, like, I think, you know, like, the segment he does every week on Tuesday, like, he knows that the Nashville hockey fans, they want to hear from him, and he's talking directly to them. Mm-hmm. And so when I hear what you're referring to there, Derek, I'm thinking he's saying, I want to answer the question honestly. I want to be fair to the host and the fans. But, like, he doesn't want to. He doesn't really want to call out Novak by name. But to me, when I hear that, that's what I'm thinking about, that they were hopeful that that spot would be sorted out, and unfortunately it hasn't been. And maybe what he would have done is he would have attacked the summer differently if he knew that it was going to be this much of a problem. That's what I would think, Derek, based on that answer.
Talking to Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts, and Elliot, another theme It was a long session. It almost sounded like a therapy session because, as you said, Barry Trotz, he wants to get messages out to the fans. He wants to show how much he cares and how much he wants to succeed, which is admirable, right? I mean, that's his best asset, I think, if you're a Predator fan, how dedicated he is to the market, to the organization. He wants to win for Nashville specifically. And one thing he said is sometimes you have a year that just doesn't go right. And this was before they lost to Calgary, a team that had really struggled on the road, and they lost Roman Josi, and they were playing without Josi, Carrier, Lauzon, O'Reilly, Nyquist in that game. So things haven't gotten any better since he did that interview. But he said sometimes you just have a year where it doesn't go right. And so he was talking a little bit about if it doesn't get better soon, maybe you play accordingly and you hope to bounce back next year, knowing that you're committed to a lot of these veteran players. But if he became a seller, what do you think is out there? We looked at the roster yesterday, and we're looking at guys like Gus Nyquist, who's a free agent. Colton Sisson's got 1 year left. You've mentioned Jeremy Lauzon. If the Predators decided to be sellers, what does the market look like there?
Well, I think, first of all, it depends on how many sellers there are. And right now, there's some, but not a ton. If you want to be here's the thing. Like, there's a lot of poker players out there, right? Like, there's good poker players in this league. And it comes down to two things. Number one, how wanted is your player? And number two, how patient you're willing to be. And I think that, like, Trotz has made it clear that he's willing to do things. And as I've talked to you guys before, like, there's a lot of GMs out there. When you're struggling, they throw you the anvil. They throw you the life preserver. I think his number one concern right now is don't make the problems worse. Don't do something. Like, everybody out there in Nashville wants him to do something. The worst thing he could do is do something that only compounds the mistake. So I think he's dealing with that. I do think Nyquist would have interest. He's better than this. I don't know that he's as good as he was last year. We had, I think, a historic shooting percentage, but he's better than this. I think that Sissons is the kind of player that teams really love in the postseason. I actually think that having another year under contract could make him more valuable, because you get them for two playoff rounds instead of playoff runs instead of one. I mentioned Lauzon, but I think Trotz indicated that he wasn't looking to move him. I think teams would love to get their hands on Jeremy Lauzon. But like I said, I think I don't think Barry's position is wrong. Like, free hockey in all sports are littered with free agents who, the first year was terrible, and then they recover. Whether it's the shock, the change, the system, whatever it is, I do believe that that's not the wrong path to take. Like I told you what Marcia So said last week in Toronto. He says, I didn't sign here for 1 year. I signed here for five. We're going to figure this out. And I think that can happen. It's just a tough message to send 25 to 30 games into the season, because it's not what your fans want to hear, right? They're like, oh, okay, like, this year we're writing off already. They don't like that. Now, but sometimes it is the right approach. I think, to me right now, the number one thing that Barry Trotz has to do, and it's not sexy sounding, and I've said it like 3-4 times in this interview already, but the number one thing he has to do is not do something that makes everything worse. Like, I think the most fascinating thing right now is, you've got, you know, Marc Chessault with his comments to the French media.
I was going to ask you about that next.
And Brunette's had a couple of stingers this week. Like, just I'm reading these quotes and I'm like, holy cow. Like, I think it's kind of interesting that so far Trotz is like, hey, guys, you can say whatever you want, but you guys got to figure this out. Like, sometimes I think that's the best path. Like, you know, hey, guys, we all go to work and we're not all happy with each other some days. Not everybody gets thrown out. You don't often get a chance to have people thrown out of your work. Sometimes you got to work through it. And sometimes you're forced to work through it. And, you know, if that's going to be the plan, I'm not necessarily against that.
Well, let's take the Marchessault thing a little further, because I agree with you, Elliot. I think it's essential, even if this year does not rebound the way it goes in the direction it's going. Long term, it is important that Marchessault finds his spot, you know, finds his place, because they've got him for a long time, like you've referenced. Same thing with Stamkos, who played with Marchessault in Forsberg. They're going to stick with that tonight for a second straight game, even with O'Reilly and Nyquist coming back in. So I'm curious how that looks tonight in Dallas, a very, very tough place to win.
Oh, yeah.
But you mentioned Marchessault. He did the interview in French. And you guys have referenced this on podcasts before. That will happen every now and then. I think there was an example a couple of summers ago where Evgeny Kuznetsov just kind of lit up the whole Washington organization in a Russian interview. It still, though, comes back to people, right? even though we're not reading the French outlets, Barry Trotz clearly took note of what Marchessault said. He referenced it in his interview this week, and he had a long talk with Jonathan Marchessault in Ottawa right after that happened. But what's your thought when a player does that? Because I guess the player probably feels more comfortable speaking in his first language, and you feel like
that's
you can kind of vent a little bit more.
Well, I think that's true. Like, I always give the benefit of the doubt in those situations. Like, the first question I ask is, okay, is something being translated wrong? Like, I remember a player got furious at me once. It wasn't even me who did it, but he gave an article. I think it was the goalie who was a Czech goalie. His name is Peter Budaj. He reached out to me once because he gave some interview to a newspaper in back in Czechia, and someone just used Google Translate to translate it. And he said it wasn't fair. Like, the way that Google Translate came out, it wasn't fair. So he asked me, like, these are my quotes, just put it out there for me. So I'm always very careful of that. Like, is the translation accurate, as you said, Willie? Like, I think sometimes players are guilty of thinking, and especially in this day and age, you should be well aware of that. Like, you know, 25 years ago, before the internet and social media, you could get away with that. You could say something in Quebec. You could say something overseas, and nobody would ever know. But right now, it's like, I always tell, like, whenever I speak to young people about this job, I always tell them, assume that any text or email you send is going to end up all over social media. Now, 99.9% of the time, it's not going to be that way, but that 0.1% where it does happen, if you've written something you regret, you're going to be in big trouble. So I think the players have to be aware of that too. Like, the thing is, like, one of the biggest things you have to do, particularly when you're going, like, we talked about this last week on the show, Adam asked the question. You guys are going through Canada last week. The season's not going very well. What were all those players doing? They were talking about, we still got lots of time. We made some changes to the system. Like, you know, we think we can still make this work. Even if they don't believe it, it's like, you know, you're going through Canada. Don't pour gasoline on the fire. And Marchessault made the mistake there of pouring the gasoline on the fire. And I don't blame Trotz for being mad about that one. And, you know, in that particular case, you know, Marchessault's just got, like, he's got to eat it and apologize, because in that situation, well, I don't know if he apologized, but he has to live with the criticism in that case, because, you know, when you're going badly, don't give other reason for people to kick you when you're down. You can't do that. And I bet you that's the reason that Brunette was so snarky this week, because he's looking at that quote and saying, are you kidding me?
Well, what Barry Trotz exposed in the conversation, because one of Marchessault's points was, I'm playing with a lot of different guys, which is absolutely true, and I can understand to a degree that he's frustrated with that he hasn't found his groove with a line. But he used an example in Montreal where he warmed up in the line rushes with one group and then started the game with a different group, and he used that to sort of as an example, see how they're moving me around on the different lines. And Barry Trotz said, do you not understand that he started the two Montreal guys? He started Zach LaRue. As you know, Elliot, sometimes you start the guy who's playing against his former team or something like that. That was the idea. That's why he did that. And Barry Trotz, that was the point he shared on the radio, was there's the disconnect there. You do understand that's your coach trying to back you up. That's not your coach trying to jerk you around there. So there was a miscommunication somewhere along the line.
Well, you know what, and I'll say this too. I'm first of all, I'm really glad you told me that, because like I said, I missed the interview this week. That'll teach me, don't miss that interview. Secondly, so for this week, we'll say
even
that's
though
the
don't miss your
interview
because you are the number one interview.
Well, you know what, this week I'll tip my cap because Barry did good, and gave great information there. You know what, I'll say too. Like I've dealt with Marceau a lot. Okay, I'll tell you this about this guy. Him and Stamkos, they couldn't have had a different path to Nashville. Stamkos was a number one pick, 60-goal scorer, big star, and he earned it. Like, I'm not saying that he was gifted this or he was handed it or he waltzed into it. Steven Stamkos worked and earned number one pick, and, like, he's had terrible injuries, and he's always fought back from them. I'm a big Stamkos guy. No matter how rough this year's been, I'm a big Stamkos guy. Jonathan Marchessault, was the ultimate underdog, scrapped and clawed and fought for every inch he got, didn't really make it until he was later. So he always has the chip on his shoulder. Like, you look at this past year, Vegas wanted to sign him, but it had to be on their terms. Like, they wanted deferred money, and, you know, it's clear, if you've seen his interviews, he felt disrespected. Now, people can argue if that's true. I'm sure people are looking now at what's happening and saying, well, boy, Vegas was right all along. But Marchessault, to him, it's just, that's who he is. That's the way he is wired. That's the reason he was the MVP of the Stanley Cup playoffs 2 years ago. That's the reason he's carved out a big role in this league. It's because he's got this constant chip on his shoulder. And look, like, he's here now. It's not going very well. His numbers aren't good. He knows people are poking at him, and he's defensive. And it's because he's but I'll tell you this, some of that is his own frustration because he knows he's below expectation, and I think it kills him inside to be below expectation.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet's NHL insider, co-host of the 32 Thoughts podcast, author of the 32 Thoughts column, joining us here as he does every Thursday. Elliot, great stuff. Even though you're giving yourself number two this week, you're still number one in our hearts.
Don't worry, I'll be back next week, and I will reclaim my throne, and Barry will be will be relegated to the second position.
Elliot, thank you so much.
All right, take care, guys. Mm-hmm.
Elliot Friedman joining us on the program. We actually haven't discussed those Marchessault comments. We were planning on doing it the other day, but we did not get to it. So why don't we do that next? Coming up, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.